Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Calls me laughing. And I'm like, dude, what's up? He says, they gave me a SIM card. They didn't put me in jail. So there's that. I'm like... Welcome to Dubai. That's how it is.
From United Arab Emirates, Shahid.
He's literally wearing a t-shirt that says, back by popular demand, which is, did you plan that, Shahid?
No, I'm just a big fan of the Peace logo, so...
I think he planned it. trailblazing Emirati wrestler Shaheen is with us on Cultaholic Island. How you doing, Shaheen?
Pleasure. Absolutely stoked to be back.
So we spoke in July, and it kind of came about in... rather an orthodox way. It was off the back of the WES event and all the promotion that sort of Dubai-based company got. And you were keen to reach out because you wanted to show actually there is more to Dubai than promotions like this. And in fact, here's some reading material for you. And we spoke about it for about 25 minutes on the podcast. And I said it'd be nice to find out more about you when we have more time. And well, here is the more time to do so.
Absolutely happy. And I owe you a huge debt of gratitude for that. You know, high five.
High five. Yeah. If you watch the Patreon, you'll see a high five.
We got some interesting messages. We got some new eyes. So thank you just to be that beacon. To reach out to UK and US based wrestlers who actually, you know, got a positive connotation after that podcast.
I was going to ask you to start off with sort of what the reaction was following our chat. So it seems like it was positive.
Yeah. I've got a few interesting follows, a few interesting messages of people I look up to who are actually keen on coming to Dubai and help foster the scene.
And actually getting involved with what you guys are. Well, you know what? Yeah. We're gonna talk about it properly as we go through. But part of the show that we do here is we send you onto this desert island and we ask you to bring with you three wrestling matches.
Yeah.
Three matches that have special significance to you. They don't necessarily have to be Dave Meltzer inspired five-star classics. They can be matches that just have a special feeling and special sentimentality for you. And throughout our time today, we're going to go through each match one by one and talk about your life and times as we go as well. What would you like your first match to be, Shaheen?
Okay. Let's start from recent to past.
Cool.
This is a bit difficult, huh? It's similar to that question all vegans get. If you were stranded on an island, would you still eat chicken? Would you still eat meat? I'm just glad this is a different kind of island now.
So. Thankfully, you can eat what you like, but I have to control what wrestling matches you watch.
Okay. First one would have to be NXT TakeOver 25, Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano. It's mainly because I was there in attendance. I felt the electricity. The whole story of the match was insane.
So you were, you were in the crowd for that one?
Yeah.
Because what a night to be there.
In Bridgeport, it was about a 2 to 3 hour train ride from New York all the way.
So did you go for that? I mean, did you have tickets booked for that, knowing that that was going to be the main event? Was this something that you had planned for a while?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So why this match, though? Because Cole and Gargano have had some bangers. But why does this one in particular stand out for you?
No, when you initially asked me, it was a tie between this and the NXT TakeOver New York one. But although Gargano had lost this one, for me, I genuinely feel like this was more of a spectacle for me. Maybe because it had that emotional sense of being in the crowd, although my favorite had lost. But I got to witness him perform live. And Gargano is someone I resonate with, mainly because of his size and disadvantage he has in the ring. And that's the same style that I have taken on inside the ring. So to witness that firsthand was, I think it's one of the first matches that sparked something in me.
Since we last spoke, obviously you've had more people asking questions and starting some positive discourse about the scene in Dubai. But the wrestling world since we last spoke, Shaheen, has changed completely. Because when we last spoke, Vince McMahon was still in charge of WWE.
Yeah.
And Triple H was still on hiatus. Fast forward just a few weeks and Vince McMahon is retired and Triple H is head of creative. Now, you, as a fan of this particular NXT show, one that Triple H's fingerprints are all over, what are your thoughts on Triple H taking over WWE?
I think it's a start of a fascinating new era. Yeah, let me just say that when they rebranded the whole new NXT, I wasn't really hooked. I was trying to watch, and it just didn't feel like the black and gold to me. I say this because when I first started my wrestling journey, when I first started training, and obviously you had to do your homework. You had to tune in to watch some wrestling matches, some five stars, some bangers, you know, just to get a hold of what psychology is. Why do they do this? How do they do that? A character work, everything from A to Z. I absolutely got to enjoy within the black and gold era from everyone who was involved, men, women, big guys, small guys. I just loved tuning in to watch their matches. The product was top tier for me personally. But then when it started to, let's say, get into Vince McMahon's hand, that's when I slowly started losing interest in NXT. So to answer your question, I do believe that within the next 6 months to a year, we're gonna see some Raw, SmackDown, NXT competition with everyone doing throwbacks of NXT's black and gold era. Everyone's gonna want to compete with one another, not just brands, but including matches, segments, everything involved just wants you to tune into all the shows.
I've got a really good vibe that we're gonna get, as you say, some of those NXT throwbacks as time goes on with Triple H in charge. You talk about how NXT of old was stuff that you were watching whilst you were training. What is it that made you decide to pursue this career in wrestling in the first place?
So let me just say that initially WWE had come to a neighboring city close to Dubai, which was a 2 hour drive away. My friend, may he rest in peace, he was one of my closest friends. We went to this show and our reception to it was, I just wish there's a wrestling show that we can go watch after this or next month or the month after, but we just had to be on standby and wait for the next WWE tour, which is God knows when. So in the wake of that show that happened in Abu Dhabi, I had run into Finn Balor in one of the gyms, which a friend of mine owns. And let me just say that it was me and my friend who were there trying to organize the guest experience for WWE. So you can say, in a sense, that we were somewhat ushers, welcoming the WWE stars into the gym, showing them around, telling them a bit about the culture, the history of the place, and just let them be because it's workout time. But the only person who was genuinely keen on learning about the culture, hey, why do you wear this? Why do you wear that? And why is it that you drink coffee from this cup, was Fergal. And I owe him a huge debt of gratitude to, from that conversation to today, the growth, the amount of immense growth that I see, and I look back at that conversation, it is the conversation that made me want to push and go pursue this as a career. Mainly because when he asked initially, what do you want to do in life? I was still looking for a job. I was a freelance photographer, videographer, and actually, this is one of the cameras that I used to shoot with for some of the places in Dubai. I used to just freelance and do content and whatnot. So he asked me, what do you really want to do? And I told him wrestling. But I feel like that ship has sailed because you guys obviously have done it since you were young. So it's in your genes, it's in your blood. You guys can do this. You've trained enough for this, but I'm nearing my mid-20s. I don't think I can actually do this. And he gives me a dead stare in the eye and says, I got into WWE when I was 34. Look at me. Look at DDP. Look at all these guys. I think you can do it. If you set your mind to it, you can absolutely do this. Then that was at the back of my head. I didn't go to the wrestling school the next day because obviously I had some shoots to finish. And within a month, I actually had an overseas shoot in Paris with one of the companies that I used to freelance with. And ironically, there was a Comic Con ongoing over there, and I saw, as soon as I left the Paris Underground, I saw this huge comic poster of Ric Flair and Lita and all these wrestling legends. And I look at my colleague and say, "Dude, can you cover for me today? I really need to go to this. I have to go. Just give me 1 hour. I need to go." And I buy tickets on the spot. I stand in line. Unfortunately, Ric Flair was sick. That this was in 2017. I'm sure you're aware of this. I think he had one of his first scares back then. So he
Yes, I
had to
remember that
skip
happening,
that
yeah.
show. And while waiting in line for to meet Amy, it was one of those moments where you suddenly switch off that fan mode and you're like, I want to speak to the person. I don't want to speak to the person on TV. I'm sure you've had those kinds of conversations and with guest wrestlers you've had on the show as a kid, maybe prior to having Cultaholic or hosting these
Where like
podcasts.
you don't want
And
to talk to them as like a fan, like, oh, I really like that match that you had at that time. That was great. But
nah, they've
you
heard
want to get
that a
under the
dozen
skin a
times.
little bit, don't you? And go like, what is it that's
Exactly.
really making you tick here?
Exactly. So I introduce myself and I tell her that I have these dreams of wanting to be a wrestler, but I don't know what the next step is. We don't have a prominent scene back home. We don't have a school. So, you being Amy Dumas, what was that thing that made you want to go to Mexico of all places? So she said a very simple thing. If you just set your mind to it, work for it, it's gonna come in steps. And one thing that resonates in my head to this day is she said, pick out all your favorite wrestlers, put them in a blender, and that's the vision of who you want to be and work towards it. And I've been doing that since then. As soon as I came back from that trip, signed up to a school, traveled to London, as I previously mentioned in the other podcast, went to the States, did this and did that. It all came naturally just because there's this subconscious switch that I feel like one conversation with a person can help turn that switch on.
Who went in your blender?
Who went in my blender? Johnny Gargano is one of those people. Becky Lynch, Rey Mysterio, Ricochet, and it's tough, but I do have a bit a few bits and bobs of so many people.
You're always adding new ingredients, aren't you?
That's the thing, especially with Instagram. Tell me about it. All these fascinating people showing up on Instagram doing training sessions and cool spots and new techniques, just adding new spices to the blender.
I took a little walk through your Instagram and I came across your wall of inspiration, which is a picture of an incredible collection of Lucha Libre masks. Because obviously to see what you do, and obviously to hear like your conversation with Amy about wrestling in Mexico, Lucha wrestling really captivated you, didn't it?
And that takes me on to number two on the list if we're done with number one.
Oh, yeah, let's go to your second match. We did not plan that. I promise you. Teamwork making the dream work, that is. Yeah, what's the second match?
Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero, WCW. Halloween Havoc, 1997. That is one of my absolute favorite matches, and I know it bit by bit, by heart.
When did you first discover it?
I'd say 2011, 2012. The thing is, let me tell you one thing about this region, is we didn't have the network. It was difficult being a WWE fan without the archives. It was Daily Motion, YouTube. I'm not allowed to say this, but piracy, you know, just pirating videos online because I wanna do this. So let me be. Just bring in the WWE Network if you don't want me to do this.
Yeah, I will pay for the network if you let us have it. Why do you think that was? Why was that? Was it just a distribution
I'm
issue?
I'm sure there's a few conglomerates that, you know, they monopolize the industries in this side of the world. So I'm guessing that they just didn't manage to get through them. But luckily in 17, 18, we finally got the WWE Network.
And that was where, you know, it was before that, obviously through other means.
To do my homework.
You'd been to see Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. So you know that match beat for beat. What's a moment in that match that you could watch 100 times over?
The gory to the Hurricanrana.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, off the top. I'd really love to pay homage to both of them one day by doing that exact same spot. I'm sure a few of other wrestlers who grew up watching them and idolized them, like Sasha Banks and Charlotte, have done the same throwback in one of their matches. And Ospreay probably did it with Ricochet. So to see how big of an impact this match has on people would just warms my heart to be one of those very few.
So did Lucha punch through in any way outside of, you know, tape trading / piracy in the UAE? Because I'm just curious as to how, because you're so passionate about the Lucha Libre style. I mean, I'm intrigued that once you knew what it was and once you clicked into it, like how much of it you were able to consume.
Okay, so I traced, let's say I paralleled my journey as to what Amy has done with Mexico by looking up the closest Lucha Libre school possible to Dubai, and it happened to be in London, School of Lucha Libre. That was in Bethnal Green, and I'd flown out all the way to London and crashed at my friend's place just to be able to experience the style of Lucha Libre, because it's new to me, it's so foreign, and I really wanted to learn the tricks of Lucha. I wouldn't say I'm a Lucha Libre wrestler per se, but I do like some aspects of it. So in my journey in London, I had trained under Greg Burridge, who happened to train Will Ospreay. He's trained so many of the high flyers in the UK, and a lot of big names have graduated from his school. It was mentally and physically challenging to do the Lucha Libre style, because not everyone can base you and not everyone can take a move. And it's completely understandable, but it's one of those things that you have to give a go if you're a wrestler. And from there on, I even managed to fly to the States 2 years ago to Chicago, and I met Mustafa Ali's trainer. I'm sure you heard about him. Is it Base God, Gringo Loco? Absolutely insane. Within one training session with him, he had me just flipping and twisting and turning and doing all these crazy moves with him.
What was he teaching you, and how was he teaching you that was different to what you've been taught before?
So you know how wrestling, let's call it American wrestling, it's usually in Mexico, it's the opposite. You have to grab the arm by the right or arm drag with the right instead of the left. And this puts a lot of people who are taught that way in a very confusing situation, including myself, because I was taught the American way. So to do it the Lucha way for me was a bit difficult to get in their shoes, in the
Is it
Mexican shoes.
akin to trying to write with the other hand?
Yes, because you're so used to it. And then suddenly it's an alien experience.
And so with that then, like how did they manage to teach you to essentially write with the other hand? How long did that take?
Let me just say, I told them that I wanted to do it the American way with Lucha style, just so I don't mix up my opponents if I ever fight someone overseas and stuff. I don't want to be in that situation when I plan a match. I have to tell them, hey, by the way, it's with the right, and then you mess up the spot, if you know what I mean.
Because if you know you're primarily going to be wrestling a Western style,
Yeah.
then you might as well just come out and just go, look, I'm gonna adapt it for this because this is what I'm gonna be doing,
Exactly.
most likely I'm gonna be doing it this way. And it's for the safety more than anything, right? Because
Yeah.
as you say, you don't want to mess anything up, because if you mess something up in wrestling, it could go awfully wrong, in amongst anything else. Where did we get the name Shaheen from? I know it comes from the name Wandering Falcon.
Yeah.
But was there any other names or sort of persona when we're filling the blender to start with? Is there any other personas, names, or such that you that hit that made the cutting room floor that you didn't want to?
I
Or was it
think it was
always a
the
case
first.
of I've always go like this is the name, I like this name, I'm going to stick with
Yeah.
this name?
Yeah. Initially, because when that was the first time I had been introduced to Will Ospreay's clips, and I had to look up what Ospreay meant. Ospreay is a type of falcon, and I'm like, okay, maybe one day I want to be the Ospreay of my region. So how do I do that? And then the falcon basically translate to Shaheen, sorry, basically translates to falcon, and it's the national emblem of the UAE, my country. It's a very small, swifty, courageous falcon that just claws its opponents, its prey. So I said, I'm gonna have to embody that within my character, and luckily I did.
You've traveled so far for somebody from the UAE. Like you are sort of regarded as like the trailblazing Emirati wrestler, training in London and performing in the States. I think we might have touched on this when we spoke back in July, but there is a pressure there, isn't there, to kind of carry the conceptions of your of where you come from around the world, isn't there?
I'd say, you know how most, let me just use this as an example. How Asian cultures are portrayed in the media, where families have to push them to become doctors and lawyers and businessmen. It's the same over here. It's because we're a fresh country. We just, it's been 50 years. We just had the Golden Jubilee last year, and the way that families are over here is, you either have to be an engineer, you either have to be a lawyer, a doctor, this or that. So for someone to take the beaten track is somewhat of a courageous step, and it comes from within. If you're passionate about it, just go ahead and do it. And that's what I've been witnessing over the past, let me just say, 5 to 7 years. There's been a renaissance of some sorts. People just pushing out and wanting to become movie makers, Emiratis wanting to become parkour, some parkour people, Emiratis, female Emiratis wanting to participate in CrossFit competitions. So everyone has gotten ballsy enough to become an individualist and not to become family oriented as to what my family wants me to do or what my country wants me to do. So to be very target oriented and have the passion and the balls to do it was quite a step for me.
What did your family want you to do?
Oh, they wanted me to become a diplomat. They wanted me to study. Yep.
I mean, you kind of are.
And I cared less about studying the world than I wanted to be part of it.
That's a really nice way of putting it. Is there still that? Because I know with some parents, and I know this is something that is here in the West as well as in the East. Like, there's that belief that when you go into something like wrestling, it's that they'll come round. They will, quote unquote, grow out of it and they'll come round. Like, where is your family at with you, not as a diplomat, but as a globe traveling pro wrestler now?
Family and friends outside of my wrestling circle still think it's a phase. And as you said, they still believe that I'm going to grow out of it eventually. But let me just say, you can't replicate passion. Your passion leads you into your profession, you know. Once you hold it firmly, then the world is yours. And when I didn't pursue wrestling, it was a bit of a sense that I felt lost in a way that, I'm going to be a diplomat. Oh, okay, maybe I'm just going to be a personal trainer. Oh, I'm just going to do this, because I didn't have a set target that I wanted to do. But now, once I set my mind to it the past 4 years, everything that I've been doing just complements it. I go to the gym because I want to be a wrestler. I'm taking classes, public speaking classes, to be able to cut promos. You know, everything complements one another. And let me just say, with, for example, the WWE 24 episode on Becky Lynch, she gave up wrestling because of an injury scare before she joined WWE. But everything she has done in that break served her purpose in the wrestling world. And she started teaching English. She started going to the gym. She started doing things that served her purpose. And that's exactly what I'm doing now.
This has led to you not only championing the Emirati wrestling scene outside of Dubai and beyond, but also bringing it home and creating that kind of being part of creating that kind of product that you as a younger man would have loved to have seen. So I'd like to talk a bit about WrestleFest DXB and kind of your involvement in that as a champion there and how that is helping to grow the greater scene across the UAE.
Okay, so WrestleFest DXB in this side of the world, in the Middle East, we want to be a beacon to aspiring wrestlers, not just established wrestlers, to be able to have dreams of performing on this side of the world. Because I don't know if I mentioned this before, I was just sitting at home waiting for the day that a promoter would reach out from the UK or the States. I worked hard on my social media presence. I'm reaching out to people, but you know, no one wants to fly out an Emirati kid and pay this much amount for a ticket and accommodation and transport. They might as well book 10 local wrestlers for the same amount. So I've been a go-getter. I've been going to these places. I headed to the UK. I've been to some indie shows over there. I went to the States. I've been to some indie shows over there as well. So I came back with that idea of, if they can do it, why can't I do it? And not in a sense of running my own indie show, but hey, this side of the world, there's a vacuum. They signed an exclusive deal with Saudi. So there's never going to be a wrestling scene here till that deal ends. So let's do something about it. And I sat down with my friends and I told them, let's start a scene. Let's do something. We have to start filming these shows. We have to start garnering all the fans. Because once I post snippets of myself on Reddit, for example, people from Dubai comment and ask, yo, there's wrestling? in Dubai, I'm a wrestling fan. So there is an audience. There are people who grew up watching wrestling and want to attend these shows. And for them to see someone they can identify with is something that I've always wanted to do. It's my number one goal. I want a kid to look up to me from this side of the world to say, hey, I identify with him. I relate to him. He's Arab, he's Emirati, he's Middle Eastern. I can do this too, you know, in that sense. So with WrestleFest DXB, I'd like to call it a dream factory. Why? Because I got my first booking within a few months of training. It was in Pakistan. It was crazy of me to fly out of Dubai and go to Pakistan, to go to Karachi of all places, to be on my first show. And my parents thought it was dangerous. And why are you doing? It's not safe. And the roads, you know, the roads are unsafe. The people are unsafe. You have to be careful, this and that. And I'm like, no, I want to go. I want to do this. And I've taken the risk. I've done two nights in Pakistan. I've done my first international show in Pakistan, came back, and this thought process was in my head. Like, I'm not an established wrestler, but they reached out to me because I'm from Dubai. I'm an aspiring wrestler, and they gave me that stage to experience what it's like to be a wrestler. So I wanna give that back. I wanna pay it forward to other wrestlers, aspiring wrestlers in the UK and in the States, to be able to do the same.
Now, you have been very active in the UK, and we talk a lot about misconceptions, and this is a very personal misconception that I'm very keen for you to speak on, because whilst we do talk about you being a part of WrestleFest DXB and all that goes on there, you're not just a wrestling, you're not a wrestling promoter per se, are you?
So it's really difficult to be wearing these two hats. One hat being part of the promoters group, and one hat being a wrestler. But let me just say that with the wrestling scene in Dubai, as we had just discussed, we had to create our own path over here, and to do that, we had to be promoters. I had to be a promoter, because otherwise, there wouldn't have been the grounds for it. So if you can't find a way, obviously you have to create one. So a few places that I've been to that I have a couple of instances with people pointing and saying, oh, that's the Dubai promoter and whatnot. I would just go up to them and say hi and introduce them to myself and say, I'm Shaheen the wrestler. So to get that point across, I am by no means, I don't have goals of becoming the leading promoter in the Middle East, or I want to be the best wrestler in the Middle East, if you know what I mean. But if it meant wearing those two hats to make that happen, so be it.
Puts me in mind a little bit of there's the story of Steve Jobs, who mm-hmm. was always, all he wanted to do was program and develop. Like, he didn't want to manage Apple. Like, so the first employee that Steve Jobs hired was somebody to be his manager, because he just wanted to crack on with the job in hand.
And that it reminds is exactly me what I'm going to do when I land sponsors. I'm going to have to hire someone to do the job, because all I want to do is just, with all due respect, just want to eat, sleep, train, wrestle. And that's all I want to do. So if someone can help me out with being a manager at WrestleFest, then that's going to be an easy task for them. Then you can just reach out to us and let's talk business.
This is an unofficial job advertisement.
Oh, yeah. Talk to you by LinkedIn.
Kai, speak to Shaheem. You might be running a wrestling promotion by the end of the week.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So how has the reaction been then? So we're a couple of shows under the belt now for WrestleFest EXP.
Mm-hmm.
We've got title contention established and divisions. So it's come together as a promotion. And I know that Dan Maloney has done some stuff for you from here in the UK. Mm-hmm. A phenomenal performer is Dan Maloney. So I'm glad
incredible.
To see him out there doing
incredible.
Stuff. He's one
of my heroes.
Really? That's so cool.
Yeah.
So when you reached out to him, was it like, what was that first conversation like? Was it you reached out to him or did he reach out to you?
So I reached out to him because, he's one of the best people on the indie scene, on the UK indie scene. And the initial response I got from him was very spectacle because he was, very skeptical because of the WES thing. He thought we were going to scam him. He thought this and that, but he asked for a deposit, transferred him a deposit. We did this, we did that. And then that garnered the trust. And it's really important to have that trust between talent and company. So he was a bit scared to actually fly out to Dubai. And he messaged me the day before saying, hey man, I'm really nervous. I'm not sure if I really want to do this. Or they're going to catch me in the airport. I'm like, bro, everything's fine. You haven't done any criminal offense. Why would they catch you? So the next day he arrives to Dubai, calls me laughing. And I'm like, dude, what's up? He says, they gave me a SIM card. They didn't put me in jail. So there's that. I'm like, welcome to Dubai. That's how it is.
But this is again that idea of these misconceptions about Dubai. Like mm-hmm. Dan Maloney, who is coming over to work, first of all, skeptical because of seeing promotions that are a bit, to use the term, fly by night, in mm-hmm. the sense that they appear and then the shows don't really happen and it's a bit sketchy. So it's not only he's dealing with that, but he's of the mindset that he's going to land in Dubai and get arrested. Like, yeah. These are these misconceptions that you're working really hard to try and change.
Yeah. And hopefully within the next coming months, I'm just doing my absolute best to get in sponsors. And this is an open call to any promotions listening to this, to any people who are willing to sponsor matches, who want to bring in their talent or want to do it on their own. You're more than welcome to reach out to WrestleFest DXB on Instagram or reach out to me on Instagram. And let's make it happen. Let's fight those misconceptions and let's show to the world that we're here to stay.
We're going to talk about your show coming up next month in just a moment, but let's get to your third and final match before we do, Shaheen. So we had Gargano and Cole from NXT TakeOver. We had Mysterio versus Guerrero from Halloween Havoc. What would you like your last match to be, sir?
So let me just say this. This holds a dear, a very special spot in my heart because I watched this match with my mother. And growing up with a single mom, she felt, let me just say, inspired. This was on my TV screen in 2004. And for her to witness me, for me and her to be watching wrestling that night of all nights was the Lita versus Trish match. And December 2004. And that happened to be 2 days before my birthday. And I remember her tearing up after watching it. She's not a wrestling fan. She teared up watching that. And then she had looked at me and said, oh, the show's over. Where's the men's matches? I'm like, Mom, this is the main event. She's like, what? We didn't feel like it was a big deal back then. They didn't make, you know, a campaign, or like they didn't make such a big deal out of it. But for someone like my mom, a female from the Middle East, to feel inspired by that and then rub it off me as well, to grow up and say, hey, if women in the States were able to do this, then I can do this too, you know.
I love how that inspired, like how that lit a fire in your mom. And I know that, as we mentioned earlier, like there was, despite watching this and seeing like the, like wow, women can main event these wrestling shows.
Yep.
There was still a passion. Yep. You've still got to go be a diplomat though. You've still got to go be a diplomat. Don't get any ideas.
And then for that to happen, there was the first women's match in Saudi. Was it the Becky and Lita match a few months back in Saudi? For them to be able to be part of such a monumental moment, it was just an hour flight away. So I had to go witness that firsthand, because, hey, I grew up watching this woman. She struck a chord in me. She had a life-changing conversation with me. So the least I could do is go and watch her perform live in this monumental, you know, match that sent ripples across the Middle East. And it was quite the experience. It was match of the night for me. The fans were rowdy. The people were crazy. And the standing ovation that Lita got at the end was, you know, the proper send-off that she deserved.
Do you see WrestleFest DXP pushing down barriers in the same way that Raw main event did in 2004?
Yes. Let me just say, within the next 3 months, not just one, not just two, but countless barriers are going to be broken. And that's going to be with the help of a lot of performers that are based in the UK.
Amazing. That's the stuff that's exciting to hear. That's really, yeah. And when it comes to WrestleFest DXP, I know that coming up next month, we have a throwback show. I love this. Yeah. So you're going 90. So what's the inspiration behind that?
I don't know if you've seen the Riot Cabaret shows in the UK.
I think I've seen a poster for them. That's about as good as I've got, I'm afraid.
Okay. So it really rallies up the crowd. You know, it's more of an entertainment spectacle more than just wrestling. The way things are in Dubai, it always has to be a hybrid event of some sort just to attract, you know, the non-casual wrestling fans to come to these shows. Initially, the first WrestleFest, we had a band, like an open mic sort of thing, where bands had to come, and local bands, Emirati bands, just to shed a light on them and, you know, just bring in the music fans to enjoy both music and wrestling. And the second show was we had a stand-up comedy to start up the show. So for this one, I think 90s, 2000 throwback was a good choice. Most of our fans are 80s, 90s fans. So for them to be listening to music and throwbacks and witnessing all the 90s attire kind of thing is going to resonate with them.
And people are encouraged to dress 90s as well. So what sort of 90s fashion statements were being made in Dubai?
I don't know if you've seen this in a sense, but I just came back from the UK and I felt like I was in a time capsule, because everyone was dressed 90s style in the UK.
Everyone's wearing tracksuits at the moment. Everyone's wearing, like, we've got this sort of weird post-pandemic fashion craze where we all go out like we've just woke up. And it's all just like jogging gear and tracksuit tops.
Just American. That's just American fashion.
it's a, you know what? There is that. The irony that they're track suits, and not many of them have ever seen a track. But there's a lot of that at the moment. And so we're hoping for some of that, some shell suit action, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like
maybe
it.
Some shiny clothes, some track suits, some Fresh Prince of Bel-Air gear kind of stuff.
It's going to be a spectacle. I'm liking it. I'm liking it. Now
I'm going to send over the videos to you.
Please do. The more, the better. The more, the merrier. This is going to intrigue some people, not just the 90s stuff, but more about the fact that there is this progressive UAE wrestling entity that is planning to break barriers and push wrestling in your side of the world into great places. And I know you said you're keen to look for sponsors. You're looking for more people to be a part of this revolution. So how can people reach out to you and be part of WrestleFest DXB?
So Shaheen of the Sky on Instagram or WrestleFest DXB on Instagram. It's the main platform I use to communicate with people, with wrestlers, with anyone basically. So just drop a message. I'll be happy to chat. And let's talk details whenever you shoot me a message.
Shaheen, it has been wonderful to welcome you to Cultaholic Island. Let's keep the conversation going. I'm so excited that now we speak on the regular and I can watch the great work that you're going to be doing over in Dubai in the months and years to come. It's going to be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.